Didn't even get a chance to talk about the Manchester derby, which I know you were very keen to. What's your ideal outcome of that game, by the way?
Manchester United win, the no threat to Liverpool, and Manchester City are. It's as simple as that.
OTB AM, live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
All right, it's 9 minutes past nine this morning, and we would love to hear from you. 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number if you want to get in touch that way, or of course you can leave a comment on the YouTube stream. We're turning to Ireland's very comprehensive victory against Japan, and I'm delighted to say Fiona Hayes and Alan Quinlan are with us this morning. Fiona, I might start with you in terms of what your expectations were ahead of the Japan game. Did you think it was going to be that easy? Are we to read too much into it? Should we be very happy? What's your level of excitement?
Yeah, I suppose after the game, I was really excited about the performance and the change in, I suppose, attacking style. We saw an absolutely high tempo, high paced attacking style, lots of options, great running lines. So it was an exciting view for me to watch, because I wasn't really expecting that from Ireland. I was probably expecting it a bit more from Japan. So it was absolutely clinical performance. And in the open space, the offloading game was absolutely brilliant. Definitely can get excited about it, but I don't think it was probably Japan's best day. Didn't have the ball, but defensively I thought they were quite soft in tackling, and we will definitely not be getting that when we face the All Blacks next week.
No, it was a nice little run out as opposed to something too taxing, and so far we're still waiting for any significant injury news, but it looks like, fingers crossed, mostly Ireland have come through unscathed, which I think, Alan, is kind of an underrated part of the whole era so far, that there hasn't been many occasions when the Ireland's management team have had the opportunity to pick their best players at the same time. So we had fully fit Tyke Furlong, we had fully fit and playing well James Ryan, we had Caelan Dorris, and we had Sexton, all starting a match and all actually in good health for the first time, I think, in the Andy Farrell era.
Sure, I think you having some continuity towards next week is what's really important. They played really well, as Fiona said, a lot of positives in the game. The one negative, probably the few lineouts they lost in that second half, and that'll be probably a bit different next week. But give them credit for what they did on Saturday, the way they attacked, and all those players played really well. Look at Furlong charging up the middle of the field, offloading to Porter. Was it a little bit too easy? Probably, but they created that tempo and intensity in the game that blew Japan away. And Sexton was really good, Gibson Park, because of what the forwards did, you know. So there's a lot of options there. And you mentioned James Ryan, you know, his form a couple of years ago, the way he kind of shot onto the scene, and with Leinster and Ireland, he was phenomenal. Looked a little bit tired last year, had a few bangs and knocks, and having him fit and well leading the forward charge is really, really important as well. So loads of positives. And the obvious question is, where, you know, what will happen next week and what will it be like? But certainly the continuity they got out of that game and the way they were able to piece things together was very, very beneficial for them as a team.
Yeah. Fiona, do you pick the same team next week or do you make some changes? What would you do?
Yeah, I think you have to reward the guys that went out there and did their job. I mean, there was, as Quinny said, there was in the second half, there was a couple of line-out kind of issues at times, but like, you know, and I know I've spoken in the past about Heron, he gives you that at set piece, he's obviously going to be an option there, but I mean Keller in the open play, and just his physicality, his carries, everything, it would be very harsh to drop him after that performance. You know, you don't obviously always blame the hooker, but you know, in general, I just thought that team deserves to get a crack at the All Blacks next week. I wouldn't be making any changes on their performance. Clean bill of health. Everybody's in positive mind space. You know, they're excited after that game. They came away really feeling like they've played well. And I think you'd be going in really positive for next week's game. And I would certainly be sticking with that team. I thought the combinations worked well in the centre as well. Ringrose and Aki. Conway on the wing was absolutely outstanding. You know, Lowe especially has been criticised in the last few games for Ireland he's playing. He obviously dropped, worked on his defence. We didn't really get to see that much in the game. But I mean, he was just amazing, running amazing attacking lines. We saw a different style of Ireland. He was running those lines maybe 10 metres out from our own try line, and he was making 20 metres off the pitch. So it was exciting rugby, and I think they definitely deserve to keep their places and have a crack at the All Blacks next week.
Does Gibson Park start for you then?
yeah, the tempo. I'm obviously a big Murray fan, a Munster woman, but the absolute tempo he brought to that game, and as Quinny had said as well, it was the clean out work. The ball was on a play for him to move it, but he was just really, really clinical. And for me, there was a slight drop in tempo and pace when Murray came on. I understand there was other changes around the park, but it was really exciting to see the tempo and pace that he brought, and it was something I was waiting to see in an Ireland attack for a long time.
Yeah, Quinny, what about that? Would you, for the big game, bring Murray back, or actually do you go with the guy who pulled the strings and played really well and Gibson Park?
Yeah, you go with Gibson Park because he produced a performance on Saturday that was really clinical. Look, at the end of the day, and the halfback Sexton and Gibson Park were really good, but it was down to what the forwards did and the accuracy around the breakdown. I think Paul O'Connell is, without me sounding too biased and favourable to what he, you know, my connection with Paul, I think the players have come out and said it themselves that he's brought a real kind of detail and focus on the kind of breakdown work that Joe Schmidt had implemented a couple of years ago. Some a lot of the same players who played under Joe, so you could argue and say, well, these guys should be doing it anyway. But it's amazing when you're out in a training field and the main man who puts so much effort, so much time and focus in on the accuracy around the breakdown, everyone's role, he left. And, you know, you don't get the same emphasis on that. And it might be just a couple of percent off. And we've seen Ireland being quite sloppy in the breakdown. And if you want to play any sort of attacking rugby, if your breakdown ball is quick and your accuracy is there and it's aggressive, it makes a huge difference. So I think Paul, probably being in the group and working under Joe and obviously having his own beliefs around the breakdown, has brought that focus back in there. So it's going to be different next week. And that's the reality. We can... You know, people have asked me in the last couple of days, were Japan bad or were Ireland really good? And I kind of get a little bit frustrated by that because we're afraid to give them the credit. They've taken a fair wallop. And from what I saw on Saturday, Ireland were brilliant. Is it going to be different next week? 100%. You know, I actually feared that Japan could even come close to beating us on Saturday. So you win 60 points to 5. Let's just give them the credit for that. I don't think they're going to get carried away. Is it a bad thing that they won so easily when you've got a really incredibly talented, powerful team coming next week? Well, I don't know. We'll wait and see. But Gibson Park was really good, and I think the ball was presented. The challenge for him next week is you'll have Retallick, Whitelock, Ardy Savea, possibly Sam Kane, Papalihi, these guys hounding Ireland around the breakdown, and that's up to, you know, the Irish pack to try and make sure that they have some decent ball next week. It's not going to be as quick, it's not going to be as free flowing, and they're probably going to have to kick a little bit more Ireland and play territorially as well. So, but what we saw on Saturday was very good, and Gibson Park was central to that.
Gerard was saying as well, just sorry, that the MyCat influence is taking time. Like, from your perspective, for somebody like him who's trying to implement those ideas, like, is it a long process? And like, did the Japan game show that it's maybe being evinced in performances now?
Yeah, we saw it towards the end of the Six Nations, Johnny, and I think what was really effective under the Joe Schmidt era was the pressure, the kicking game, making no mistakes, playing in the opposition half, all that stuff. And it brought incredible success. So a lot of these players were kind of programmed into that system. And when you have a team, the game evolves all the time. Year after year, people are trying to find new ideas, new ways of breaking down the opposition. Everyone has a defensive structure that it's intriguing trying to break it down all the time. And if your ball is slow, you have to kick sometimes. You make mistakes in your own half. You give away penalties, teams kick points, you lose games. I think Ireland were caught in the middle of trying to add some attack to their game, but they dropped the levels with the kicking game, the kicking chase, all that kind of stuff. Their defensive efforts weren't as good under Joe. So trying to evolve that is probably taking a little bit of time. It's hard to know. When you play Japan and you have so much space and time, and Fiona did say it, and I'm sure when they review the game, the Japanese, they'll be very disappointed with some of their alignments. Ireland exposed them and found little pockets and holes everywhere throughout the field. So the attack, as I said, going back to what I said, Six Nations, they were brilliant against Ireland. We saw loads of width in the game, loose forwards out in the touchline, variety in the way they ran. So it's taken time, but we're starting to see it now. Yeah. But
Fiona, the other thing
is going to be a challenge to kind of attack in the same way.
Fiona, that was the thing afterwards as well that Andy Farrell was talking about. You lads in the media, I'm sure, will write about the points we scored, but by a country mile, the best part of our performance was our defence. And this is the great unknown. We can give them credit for keeping Japan to 5 points, but obviously, I mean, if we keep New Zealand to 5 points, we'd be pretty happy. We would expect New Zealand to score between 20 and 30 points next week, and it's about making sure that that's on the low side.
Yeah, it's that. It's looking at their form, and we know that New Zealand can score tries from anywhere. We know what they bring. I mean, I'm sure they've reviewed the last few games that they've played. They've seen them playing, and they're playing that high tempo. And I think for me personally, the first half especially, we didn't see enough. We weren't able to judge that Irish defence because Japan barely had the ball. We were so clinical. Even Conway retrieving the ball in the air, Hugo Keenan on our kicks. Everything seemed to work out for us. But I think defensively in the second half we saw a bit more from Ireland, and their line speed, their alignment, everything looked on point. And I like Japan, as we spoke about before, had the ability to tack from anywhere, and they would know that going in there, but they seemed to be able to cover that at all aspects of the game. Second half we saw it a little bit more.
There was some sense that we might have used the Japan game as room to experiment, but that clearly wasn't what happened. What happened with the Japan game was he picked his first team, and it looks like he's got a very clear sense of what his first team is now. And I think we all know what his first team is now as well from that perspective, Fiona. How important is that? That actually this is how we're going to play, this is who's going to play when they're fit, and if you want to take that jersey, you're going to have to be absolutely sensational in form for your club or even for your country when you get a few minutes.
Yeah, that's it. And I think that's the way to go in that kind of camp environment and team environment. I mean, we were talking, you know, about that hooker spot for a little while. We didn't know who was going to take control. It was going between a couple of guys. You'd Heffernan in there as well at some stage. So I think he's kind of laid the marker down, and he said, these are the guys that are in form. These are the guys that are starting. They've put in a performance, and we'll see it with selection for the game against the All Blacks. That is, if he goes with something similar, the same team, this is what he's thinking. And I think they all seem to really play well off each other. I had a few questions, like obviously the back row, there's so much there, you know, there's going to be able to say, like the talent up at camp, you didn't know where he was going. And I think he's found the right back three. I personally think Ty Byrne in second row, the threat he can bring from second row is really, really positive. And having him in the second row as well as a loose back three as well is going to be really, really positive for Ireland, and especially in this game in the All Blacks. We'll see a mountain of work against a very, very exceptional All Black back row.
Yeah, Alan, talk to us a little bit about that, specifically the back row, and what having Doris at six versus Doris at eight, is there a significant difference in what impact he can have in the game?
Not really. I think he's a very intelligent player. Someone makes a tackle, bounces back up, ready for a poach. He brings just a real kind of presence about himself and a real good footballer. He's balanced. So he didn't have his biggest game in the second half. I think he had 10 carries or something in the first half. They were all on the front foot, lots of options and lots of players jumping up, touching the ball and stuff like that. But I just think Doris is a really intelligent footballer and being able to read the game. And this is something I've always believed. If you can get as many players on the field who are naturally good readers of the game, well, that adds to your attack and adds to what you're trying to do, and people anticipation, people making line breaks and stuff like that. So he's incredibly athletic. And then Jack Conan, I think he's, you know, showed he probably went to a different level in that Lions series, you know, started the three tests, and then that's only better, brilliant for Ireland. So it's very hard to say put Doris back eight and start switching Conan. I think Conan deserves and earned the right now to you know, to have that jersey and hold on to it. And he showed on Saturday how good he can be again, and his quality. Having Doris in the team just offers you that more footballing ability in the back row. So the two of them are 6 and 8 at the moment, and Van der Fleer was very good as well. He's offering something different in attack, the way he's carrying the ball. So I don't anticipate any changes. There is loads of of competition there, and players will try and put pressure on him. But I think there's a really good balance to that back row at the moment.
And Teichbern as a second row, there was a fear a couple of seasons ago that he wouldn't actually make it at international level as a second row, just on the pure basis of size and bulk. But actually, it turns out that he's more than capable of playing. That's the way it seems. Next weekend will be the final judge on that, but we shouldn't have any concerns about that, right?
Sometimes I think, yeah, he's such a good player that if Doris wasn't there, I'd be saying put Teichbern at six and bring Henderson into the second row. Henderson brings a size and a physicality as well that maybe sometimes we need. And, you know, Teichbern isn't the biggest second row in the world. He's still 6'5" and he's very athletic, but Henderson's a little bit of grunt, and he offers a little bit more of that. Sometimes Teichbern, because maybe of the back row, he gets, you know, he's trying to get his hands on the ball more than what he's doing defensively. He's brilliant at the breakdown, so he's a wonderful player. And I think, look, having him on the field and offers a lot to Ireland in their attacking game, because attack isn't just about getting the ball to your wingers. It's about all the forwards, what they do, the lines of running, timing, all that kind of stuff. And he's been brilliant, Teichbern. So it's a tricky decision for him next week. I think Byrne and James Ryan will start. But it's a lot of positive stuff here this morning. But at the end of the day, next Monday morning, if it's still going to be a very difficult game for Ireland to win, but we'll be able to pick holes. And if they do get a result, it'll be brilliant. But it's a totally different challenge, and we could be critical of some of these combinations next week.
Okay, so we need to wait and get the full evidence. I guess, Fiona, we pointed out that New Zealand are 10-point favourites against Ireland next week. This is us coming off the back of a 55-point victory. Italy were reasonable for 15-20 minutes against the All Blacks, kept them scoreless, and then capitulated and got beaten by nearly 40 points. And obviously they hammered Wales the previous week as well. So it's not like the All Blacks, it's not like we're catching them at a low ebb or anything here.
No, I know they're in flying form, and you know they've played a lot of rugby. They've had their the games against Australia, South Africa as well. So that's been flowing. They look really good. The Italian game, as we said, the first 15-20 minutes. But I don't think the All Blacks had the foot in full throttle. So I think they were more kind of looking at things and playing around. But this All Blacks team, I mean, we talk about players, you talk about Whitelock, you talk about Ritalik. But when they're not playing, sometimes you wouldn't even notice it if Ardie Seve isn't there, because the guys that come in are just as good and just as strong, and their squad depth is absolutely immense.
What kind of a game do you expect Ireland to play then, Fiona, on the back of what we've seen? Keane Tracy in the back of the Indo is pointing out 7 box kicks but 18 offloads, and I think it was 15 in the first half. The obviously conditions in the second half slowed things down a bit. Do we do the same thing? Do we play the new game style, new game plan, and irrespective of whether or not it means we get beaten by 30 points, try and bed this in against top quality opposition? Or what happens? What do you expect?
Yeah, I think they're going to stick with that offloading game. I mean, it worked really well. As I said, the Japanese weren't physical around that kind of defensive area, so they were able to get their hands free. But I thought technically they carried the ball different. I thought they were always looking to get their hands free, two hands on the ball, and Ireland have obviously worked a little bit on that. I do think there will be more of a kicking game, but it will be far more strategic, because we can't obviously give the back three of New Zealand can't ball to be running at us. So I think it was the tester this week, but I think it's going to be a very, very similar game plan, and it's kind of a new attacking system. They've talked, Andy Farrell's talked about his defensive system, they back that. So I reckon they're going to go all out and really kind of test their offloading ability against this physically strong, dominant All Blacks team, and you know, and obviously have a lot of options off set piece. I think Porter was excellent in the loose. I thought he scrummaged really well. I mean, he maybe gave away one penalty, so he might be a little bit disappointed at that. But I think if we can get that set piece completely nailed, we'll really, really give the All Blacks something. And if you can hold them for 50-60 minutes, you're definitely in with a race, because that hasn't been happening to them. They've been pulling away in most games, and I think they're very comfortable in that position. So if you can keep them in that kind of battle, definitely up with a chance.
Alan, I don't know what to make from Wales' performances. They really put it up to the Springboks at the weekend. Springboks have obviously had some success recently against the All Blacks. They got absolutely annihilated by the All Blacks the previous week. So what's the truth about where the All Black form is, and can we use Wales as any kind of indicator?
I take some positives because I think we're probably... But Wales missing so many players, bar some silly mistakes, the intercepts, they were kind of in touching distance with 15 minutes to go. And that's the challenge. Anytime you play New Zealand, it's that last 20 minutes, they change gears, and it's something they really focus on, playing for the kind of full 80, even if there's a couple of minutes to go. We saw them do that in the Rugby Championship as well, over the summer. That, you know, they can just... 2 minutes to go on a game, they can score three tries. They just have this ability straight from the kickoff, go again. I mean, you've got to find a way to stop that pace that they can put in the game. You know, when whether it's Mwanga that starts or Barrett at 10, that attack is just sensational, scintillating at times. And it's about controlling the tempo of the game. And if you can do that, we have a template that we did it before in 18 and then in Chicago as well. So I think the approach needs to be a mixture for next weekend. You try and get into the opposition half, and if you get an opportunity or a chance, take your points with a penalty, and you might get one or two chances in the game to score tries, and you've got to be clinical. If somebody makes a line break, there has to be a bit of anticipation and people on their shoulders. So if we're to win this game or be anywhere close to winning it, Ireland have got to really play for 80 minutes and be so focused, because they can cut you apart like they've always been able to do.
Yeah.
If you allow them play, they've always been able to do this. So it's no surprise or shock to us that this is what can potentially happen if you stand off them a little bit.
Well, hopefully Andy Farrell's point about the defence holds true, and next week we're talking about a great defensive stand from Ireland. Thanks to both you, Fiona and Alan, for joining us this morning, and we'll get you back next week to see exactly how things went.